We join the following program in progress.
There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of the Galatians. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only you do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through, through love, become slaves to one another.
For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, But let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I really like when the choir does the, would you call it chanting? Yeah, it's so beautiful. Wasn't that lovely? I grew up with that in church, and I even remember the priests that would actually chant the Eucharistic liturgy. You know, it's really beautiful. So this, Sally, I know you don't like ministers who use notes, but you know, sometimes I need lines in the road for me to.
I didn't say that. Actually, I wish that was me.
What? No, well, you said the other priest, he didn't even have notes.
Yeah. Okay.
Drew, I believe. You really liked it. Okay.
Guilty.
So there's a lot to think about. All three passages, there's so much there. I'm not even sure what to think about it. This life in the spirit, you know, business. Here's the grown-up part of the homily. The New Testament does speak often about the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Sometimes the contrast is between the body with all of its physical limitations and the immaterial part of a person. But often it is between the body's connection to the temporal world and the immaterial human spirit that has been brought to life by God's Spirit. Now, if you recall, Jesus kind of fussed at the disciples when they fell asleep in Gethsemane, you know, and said, you know, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So they wanted to stay up, but they didn't. Also, you know, Jesus made the comment to Nicodemus about flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. Now, we know that Paul in Romans definitely wore out the subject about living, you know, in the spirit. And I would say that oftentimes we land on some kind of conversation about, you know, carnality, being born again. And those are all very important ideas to consider. But outside of the, and there's lots of theological kind of calculations that we could spend time on. But in my head, I'm thinking, no, but really, what does that mean to live in the spirit? I mean, is there any kind of contemporary model for that being done? And I don't think that living in the spirit means that you abandon your body. It's really hard to be a good neighbor without a body. Haven't seen it done. So what does that mean? What kind of contemporary example could I find? This is definitely where my mind goes. I remember listening to a young prodigy cellist being interviewed on NPR, and she was asked, "So what was the best musical advice that you've ever been given?" And she named her teacher, who was this very famous teacher of the cello. And he stopped her at one point during her practice session. And he said, "Remember, the music comes from here. You know, the music is from within. You can get all the notes right and still not play the music." I have a jazz program on an NPR affiliate station. Comes after All Things Considered, and every Friday night from 6:30 to 8. So my brain for most of my life has been deep into jazz. I get to interview jazz artists. I play jazz somewhat on a classical guitar. I know bossa nova. And I know that there may be people in here, whenever you hear the word jazz, you're like, oh, you know, I don't like that randomness and it doesn't make sense. You know, but you know that the jazz is like a continent of music. It's massive. You don't just go to Africa. Africa is huge with lots of different cultures. And it's the same thing with classical music and jazz. It's massive. So for me, there are ideas that come out of that community, the jazz community in particular, that I think is relevant to us learning how to live in the spirit. Eric Reed, who's a famous, he's Wynton Marsalis' pianist, and he's a friend of mine. He teaches at UTK. He teaches jazz at UTK. However, offline, he would say, you really can't teach jazz. I mean, there's certainly things for you to do, and heck, if UT is going to pay him to teach, sure, he'll pick up the paycheck. But can you teach music? Can you teach a life in the spirit? You know, it's the first reading where Elijah kind of throws his mantle on Elisha, and the mantle basically means his stole. And then for whatever reason, Elisha understood what he needed to do. He contested maybe just a little bit, and then he followed. There's the conversation in the second reading about living in the spirit, not being a slave to the desires of the flesh. And the desires of the flesh can be anything from what we normally think of as desires of the flesh, but also the flesh of being overly opinionated and sanctimonious and unwilling to be open-minded. And desire is not a bad word, because it also says in that passage that the spirit desires. So it's not just this idea of any kind of feeling is off limits. There's a deeper well of feeling that actually is very necessary. I think when the disciples, you know, were trying to help Jesus contend with the Samaritans who weren't paying attention, and they're like, let's send fire down on them. Some passages mention, they said, like Elijah did, you know. So there's precedent for us firebombing these people, you know, and Jesus is like, you know, you need to relax. The life in the spirit, as he mentioned, isn't a destination. Foxes have holes, you know, but I'm this is an unfolding. Life in the spirit is unfolding. And then, what's the other thing he said? He said foxes have holes. I forgot the other comment.
Birds have nests.
Birds have nests.
And then what's the other piece of? And then he said something else.
The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.
Yeah. So so he's saying that. Oh, that's right. He said, no. You don't go home and tell people goodbye. So when you're connected to the Spirit, You're in a process of unfolding, and you have to be all in. You can't part-time this. Just like you can't when you're in the context of music, you can't just sort of half be there. You have to all be there. There's something about musical performance that requires you to be all in. There are musicians here that could speak much more deeply to that idea. It has something to do also with not playing the notes, but playing the music. The first sermon I ever preached in this city was at the Mission Chattanooga, and it was entitled Jesus, Jazz, and the Underground Railroad. And my idea was that to be, my idea was to also use jazz as a motif for how to become a disciple of Jesus, and then how to live in the spirit. And I think I've broken it down to four ideas. Choose your instrument, learn to play with others, listen to good music, and go where the music takes you. Now, in the context of being a Christian, choosing your instrument basically means be you, not be somebody else. Certainly, when we practice being a musician, we have models. I mean, even as Christians, there are people, we read biographies in the Catholic tradition. It's very, very popular and encouraged to read the life of the saints to get some ideas about what it actually looks like when it's all put together. Miles Davis, the trumpeter, the American musician, said it takes a long time to learn how to play like yourself. What he means is that to become who you are takes time. Faking is easy, but to be who you are takes time. Learning to play with others. In the context of jazz, you have to both learn how to support and lead, and even know when those opportunities arise. Listening to good music is about exposing yourself to the talents of others. In the context of being, I think, a believer, it means showing up and reading scripture daily. I had one young guy ask me, he said, "So how would I approach the Bible?" And I said, "Well, read it every day, but read as little as possible." And all I wanted for him was him to keep going back. If he just tried to do all the heavy lifting of reading a chapter a day, no one sticks with that. And then go where the music takes you. This is a trickier thing, because sometimes the Spirit is going to push you in a direction, and your discursive brain, we could say the flesh, said, "Nah, this is not a good idea. First off, this person is my boss, and I don't think this person's going to appreciate what I'm going to say." I don't know what it is. It could be marching. It could be doing a number of things. But in the development of a jazz musician, you choose to be authentic. These musicians could play pop music and make lots of money. That's always being noted. But somehow, when they tasted what they experience in music at that level, there's no going back for them. And so they're willing to be underpaid to play this music. It's the same thing with being a Christian. I mean, you're not going to be congratulated, and you might find yourself in all kinds of difficult scenarios. But choose your instrument, learn to play with others, and learning to play with others is complicated, right? Community is oftentimes that one place where the one person who annoys you is there, and you're thinking in your head, "Wow, this would be great if they weren't here." But oftentimes that person annoys me, annoys you, because they're like you, and there's something in them that is provoking, something that you need to work on, Chris. Listening to good music, you have to reach for things. It can't all come in as entertainment. Wynton Marsalis, the jazz pianist, trumpeter, he said, if you talk to people about food, they don't mind dessert. But if you talk to them about dessert, they don't want to talk about food. If all you give people is candy, that's what they want. And we become shallow. So listening to good music, reading difficult and challenging passages of scripture is important. And then all of that cultivates an instinct for going where the Spirit will take you. And it will make us more, you know, courageous, willing, bold human beings. And within the Christian world, there are all kinds of witnesses of this kind of behavior. Martin King, Ella Baker, a lot of people. So I wanted to conclude with a poem. What's interesting about poetry is poetry, in my mind, is language against which you have no defenses, meaning it just kind of undoes you a little bit. You don't get if it's a good poem, it opens you up. And a poem can kind of touch that place inside of you, I think, oftentimes where the Spirit can live. It does live. And that place of music inside of you that can actually be developed. To live in the Spirit is not just some sort of ecstatic thing. It's something that can be cultivated. which is primarily my point. But it is a moment of freedom. Free from your fears, free from your opinions, free from your sense of jealousy and contempt with your neighbor. Free. The poet Derek Walcott, who is from, he passed in 2016. He's from a small island in the Caribbean, St. Lucia, and he won the Nobel Prize in 1992. And this is entitled Love After Love. And in my mind, this is like the beginning point of living in the spirit, and that is choosing to be who you are, choosing to start there. The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit, feast on your life. Feast on your life. Living in the spirit is possible, and it's likely, and it's pretty much everything that Jesus was talking about and what is revealed in Scripture. He wants his people to live their life, not just think about it. Amen.
Please stand as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The prayers of the people. We pray for all people. We pray for the nations of the world and for our leaders. We pray for justice and for peace. We pray for communities of faith, especially for this community. We pray for those in need, trouble, or poor health. We especially pray for Jim,
J.R. and Courtney, Pat, Gail, Priscilla, Greg, Cindy, Joycey, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Kat, Xavier,
Becky, Alexander, Terry, Dale, Peter, Marianne, Kelly, Holly, John and Janice, Nicole, family of Leanne Hampton, Paula, Margaret, Jacqueline,
Jenny,
Steve,
Kyle,
Richard,
Bonnie,
Valerie,
Amy,
Lori,
Roy,
Cheryl,
Allen family,
Christina,
family of Lola Cressady,
Cheryl,
Jimmy and Dale,
have fun and baby,
Freddie, Eddie, Bill.
Woody.
Laney.
We pray for those who have died. We pray with thankful hearts for the many gifts and blessings of this life.
Almighty and ever-living God, ruler of all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And it says in the bulletin that the senior warden will welcome everyone. So, welcome.
Lord God Almighty, earth.
Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray together. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us.
We thank you for the splendor of all creation, for the beauty of this world,
and for the wonder of life, and of the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to life. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him at all times and in all places, may still give thanks to you in all things. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.